You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14 or 15. Jesus says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. And he prunes that more fruit, that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean, and because of the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me. Now he speaks. All of a sudden he gets, you know, when the Lord says he's serious about something, he says truly, truly. When he does two trulys, you better be paying attention. Well, he says 10 abides here. So we better, I think it's worthwhile abiding in him. Abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me you cannot do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they are gathered and cast into the fire, and they are burned. And if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Amen. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love, and if you keep my commandments, and you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy might be made full. Father, we just thank you for your word, that Father, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that Father, it divides, Father, that it, my God, sets apart. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word washes us pure than snow. Father, we just thank you that our minds are cleansed, that by the washing of the word. And so, Father, tonight we just come around your word. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in Jesus' name. Now, tonight I want you to have some mind pictures, you know, develop your mind. I want you to see a vineyard. We have a church, another church up in the vineyards that we travel up to most weeks. And as you go up over the seasons, you see all these different changes. And as you get into the wine growing area, the whole atmosphere changes. It's like a romance thing. Do you know what I mean? There's all these vineyards have been planted, especially in Australia, because all of a sudden you have a Spanish look arrive in an Australian setting. You know, you've got kangaroos bouncing through all the vineyards, and you've got these Spanish-looking buildings. And it's, you know, tourists go up there by the thousands. And they go up there to drink wine and do all this stuff, you know, they do their thing. But nevertheless, it is so romantic, you know, this whole thing. And as the summer comes on, you see all the vines that were dry and nothing on them spring into life, and all these leaves start. Oh, it looks absolutely great. And then it starts to, instead of being this sort of a yellowy green, it starts to get a little darker, and the vines get bigger, and you see them going over the ridges and over the ridges. As far as the eye can see are vineyards. And this, up there, there's something like 170 vineyards, and where I come from. And it's just so wonderful. And here the Lord begins to talk about the vineyard. He uses the vineyard as an example about where he's going to take us as individuals. You see, one thing we must understand, the fruit never lies. Okay? Yeah. At the end of the day, the fruit will determine exactly where you have placed your feet over your lifetime. Mm-hmm. What pond you have been playing in will show at the end of harvest. Okay? So what's the Lord talking about? He says that unless he prunes you. Okay. You know, I had a look at the whole harvest this year. And this is time of celebration. I mean, as Christians, we love the celebration times. That's what it's all about. We are faith people. We walk by faith. And we walk by faith for the days to be sunny, fruitful, and no bad times. That's what we do. We aim for that. We think of prosperity constantly. And the sad thing for Christianity, especially for faith people, is that when a bad day comes, we turn around and look for that devil that sneaked into our church. And friends, he hasn't sneaked in. It's a bit of a worry, isn't it? And so we start binding everything that we find. You don't want to go in those days. Someone will bind you. And you'll get loosed. And if they don't like you, you get the left foot of fellowship straight out the door. Do you know what I mean? It's all these things happen. Weird things happen. And friends, they give credit to the devil that he doesn't, should never ever get. Because if you are walking in God and he is walking in you, then what part does the enemy have to play in your life? So therefore, there must be something inherent in you that the Lord wants to chop out. Now, the vine dresser does not come to the vine because he hates the vine. He doesn't get the secateurs out and start snipping because he doesn't like it. He has a plan. Amen. That's what he has. He has a plan. I started to look at the vine. You see, when they do a vine, when the vine dresser comes along, after summer, the vines just sit there. And they sit there, and they sit there, and you think, oh man, they look tatty, they're torn, the fruit's all been taken away, it's dry looking, they look terrible. But they're allowed to sit there. And something special is happening. And you know, in Christianity, things happen, and you think, well, where's God? And he hasn't gone anywhere. What he's allowing to do is things to begin to happen inside of you. Because, you see, our faith is proved by what? Not sunny days, not days at the beach. It's by tribulation. And where's the tribulation going to come from? Doesn't need the devil for that. He's got us. We've got enough stuff inside of us to work enough trouble as it is. You tear that page out. You see, what happens in the vineyard at that time is the vine dresser is waiting for the sap to stop flowing in the vine. You see, all the fruit has come off and the sap is still flowing. The sap was flowing to the fruit. Now it's got to go someplace. And what it does, it flows into the branches and you get a little bit of growth. You see this bit of growth go on the end. But that's not what happens. What happens is when it's left there, and time goes by, the sap all gets sucked back out and goes down into the root or goes down into the stump and it stores it. And then the day will come when the vine dresser decides now's the time to get rid of that junk. Yeah. And so he comes along and he snips it and nothing comes out the end. There's no weeping. He snips it. All the energy has gone back into the plant. And you see, the plant stores it there. And it's so necessary. See, if he is premature and comes up and snips these things off, and many times as pastors we come into a situation, boots and all, and start snipping when it's not time to snip. Yeah. And we wonder why people get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, why do we do this thing? And what happens is that this plant, when you start snipping, there's no loss of energy. That energy, you see, when the springtime comes and it starts throwing out new buds, the new buds are not growing from something that's been taken out of the soil. The first month, the energy comes from what was stored in the plant. Friends, if we do not store up in the hard times, or what we think is the dry times, if we do not store up inside of us, the energy that it takes for us to climb out of a hole is so much greater. You see? And it takes it away, that energy that should have been stored but wasn't stored, and that has to come out of the ground, is being taken away from the fruit for this coming year.
Right.
Now, the vine dresser comes along and he snips off and he leaves five. Five branches. Three go in one direction and two go in the other. And you think to yourself, why cut all that stuff off? Why not have six? Why not have 10? I mean, why not have these? Have lots. I mean, more is best. Or better. Or betterer. Or bestest. Something. Bigger is better. Do you know what I mean? But no, he only has five. And what he does is he snips them, but the ones that he's going to leave on the vine, he lets wave in the breeze. Just leaves them there. They just flap around. These things just flap around. I want to tell you something that happens also. When the vine dresser comes along, it is a dangerous time for the vine dresser. Why? Because all these vines are preloaded. They have strung together, they've been bent over, grabbed a hold of this part of the vine, and they are loaded with strength. And when he snips them off, they spring up. Woof. And that's just like us. Friends, when hard times come along, we are loaded with all sorts of garbage. And the minute pastor wants to put a finger on it, all hell breaks loose. Where did that come from? Did the devil just jump on you? No, he didn't. This stuff is all inside of us. And so he lets this thing wave around. And it's just like us, you know, you've got the vine and you've got these five arms waggling around in the breeze. Oh, freedom. Freedom. He just loves the freedom. Blowing in the breeze. You can see it, can't you? And then one day, the vine dresser comes along and he grabs that sucker and pulls it down to the wire and ties it to the wire. Now, I want to tell you something. Doesn't the vine dresser care about the vine? You know, he would love it to have its freedom. The vine wants him to have its freedom. But the vine dresser has the plan. And, you know, many times he wants it to go that way. This is where we're going. We're going down this way. So he ties it to the wire. As he pulls it over, the vine, or this lateral, begins to creak and crack and groan. And it makes all this noise. Why? Because it's hardened. It's got a little harder. And as he ties it down to the wire, he has to be very careful that he doesn't break it off. Because if he breaks it off, for that vine, one-fifth of that year's harvest has disappeared, just right there. One-fifth. Now you think to yourself, man, this is amazing. Because the Lord is taking us on a journey. He's tying us, or he's bringing us into obedience. Yeah. Tying us to the wire. How special is that? You know, I looked at the vine, and I discovered some things. I'm going to read you some. What I discovered, I took an average. Each bud, or each branch, has three buds. Each bud has three bunches of grapes in it. Now, if you put a bud under a microscope, because this is what happens during the winter, friends. Nothing's happening. People say nothing's happening, but something is happening. Mm-hmm. Those little buds are swelling, and there's things in there. There's something in there. And if you cut it off and put it under a microscope, you can see the bunches of grapes have already been formed in there. They're not formed when they pop out, when the branch pops out. They are already formed. The plans that the Lord has for you are already formed in it. Your destiny, friends, is already formed in you. And so what happens is, what I found was there's three bunches in each bud. There are 20 to 25 buds on each cane. There are 40 to 60 canes on each vine. That equates to 3,375 bunches of grapes. And you'd go, woohoo, that's the go. But it's not the go. Because there's only going to be five branches. That's all it's going to be. Now you think, well, what's the go here? Well, the Lord said it. That he wants to prune you, not that you might bring more fruit. Well, how can there be more when you've cut everything off there? See, more isn't most. More is best. And he's after the best that we have. He's after the best that he's placed in you. Friends, I tell you what, if that vine was allowed to grow, it would destroy itself. Because it would fall on the ground and lose its fruit. So when he ties you, we come back to being tied to the wire. What is he doing? He's training the vine. He's training it to go this way. He's training it onto the wire because the wire will hold and sustain the fruit, which is going to be bigger and greater than the fruit it normally would have had. Why? Because it's got the same root power, but only supplying to a minimum amount of fruit. And so it's growing. The same with us. The very same thing happens to us. Pastor Mike has a huge ability to remember scripture. He does. So do his daughters. I don't know how they do it. It's amazing.
Brains,
yes. Brains. It's a skill. It's wonderful. It's one of those things. It really is. But, praise God, he left a little wee scripture in there for people like myself. Yeah, it's the foolish things of this world. I mean, they just sit there shaking their heads like, man, don't you know that scripture? Well, I do when I read it, and then I forget it. Right there and then. 2 seconds later. But the principle I apply to my life. I don't need to know anymore. They have to keep reminding themselves. No, it's not that it's true. but I have this, I wish I could do that. You know, I do. My wife just drives me crazy. She does that too. But here I am. And there you are. My question to you is, are you tied to the wire and enjoying it? Are you tied to the wire and enjoying it? Are you happy where the Master's leading you and taking you? Are you in rebellion? Are you one of those kinds that are coming down here creaking and crying and yelling and squawking because you're being tied to the wire? Mm. See, I made a note here. The body of Christ is littered with people who are not strong enough to withstand their own success. See, we are tied to the wire. We are tied to Christ for the one reason and one reason only. Friends, when Babel was destroyed, he destroyed it because of their minds. If they agreed and they could get it into their hearts that they could do it, they would do it. And God said, look, I'm going to mess that one right up. And so he did. And friends, we need him. I don't know about you, I mean, I need him. If I don't have him, what have I got? Yeah. You know, I think to myself, daily I think, praise God, I've got God, I found him. Yeah. Yeah. I've had the other stuff, and it tried to kill me. Yeah. Now I'll take myself wherever I like, for the gospel's sake. The world hates you, it tries to kill you, and it's not going to succeed. Amen. It's my choice. It was never my choice before. The dope was going to kill me whether I liked it or not. I had no choice in it. Till the Lord broke into my life, tied me to the wire, said, son, this is where you're heading, that way. I thought, glory to God, this is wonderful. So here we go on this journey. As the days go by and the vine begins to develop and grow, all sorts of hell breaks loose on it. There are a million and one insects that think, man, I just love grape. I love that juicy looking leaves. And they want to latch onto you and destroy you. You know what the Lord does? He, at the beginning of every row of the vines, they plant rose bushes. There's a rose bush at the beginning. You can see it now. I just think, man, that looks nice. That's lovely. The farmer doesn't give a hoot about the rose, whether it looks lovely or not. It's there for a reason. And the reason is that the bugs that like his vines like the rose even more. So, the sacrificial plant is put at the beginning of every row, friends. We must always remember, when the enemy comes against us, that he is the one who raises up a standard. He does. He's our... He is. He's our rose. The Bible calls him the Rose of Sharon Fair. We must never forget that we are awesome in his sight and that we are powerful in his sight. He has made us. You know, he said, look, I've got to go to be with the Father. But the things that I do, you shall do, and greater. And he wasn't saying something stupid and willy-nilly just to, you know, get all these crow babies on side. Or don't go away, Lord. You know, don't go away. What have we got? No, he wasn't doing it for that. He was stating a fact. Because the one that he was going to send, the Holy Spirit, is the one that raised Christ from the dead, was the one who breathed over the worlds when they were created. And life came into the place. God snapped his finger and said, let there be life. And the Spirit of God came over and did it. How wonderful is that? I think he's sweet. I just love him. I just think to myself, man, all these Christians and people out there that think the Holy Spirit was for yesterday or some other day or whatever, or he's not around at all, have missed the whole point. You know, our rose bush needs to be there. Because it has a part to play in our walk. Yes. As the days go on and the farmer begins to tend to his vines, the sun gets higher, it gets hotter, and it has to have, for the vine to survive, it has to have a certain amount of heat. And for it to bring up its best, it needs to be so many days of constant heat. If the farmer doesn't water his plants, if he doesn't bring and care for them, at the end of the day, when the vine or when the fruit is brought in, it will determine what has taken place during the year. There's no point in the farmer thinking, man, I better give those plants the last watering. No. The last watering doesn't do it. You know, a last second thing doesn't do it. It's what's taken place over the year that does it. How we cared for it. Friends, we need to live in the living water. We need to live in it. It's the very thing that sustains us from day to day. Not just one day, but every day. You know, we don't want to get to stand before the Lord and he says, depart from me. Oh, I would hate that. You want to have a look at that? Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew 7. You see, there was another thing. You know, the Lord says that he gathers up all those branches and throws them in the fire. Do you know why he does that? See, I was sharing with one of the growers, and I said, man, why don't they just gather all those vine parts up and put them through a mulcher and you've got mulch and you just put it around your vines? I mean, how good's that? That's the way to do it. No, it's not. See, the Lord burns them for a reason. In those, I met this grower and he said, I did that. I came from the city. I had this good idea and I mulched it all. I put it around my vines. And I nearly lost my vineyard in 1 year because the disease that was in those mulchings just erupted all over his vines and there was no controlling it. See, the Lord wants to burn everything off, friends, is get rid of it. You see, the value is in what he's going to put into the vine. That other stuff is burnt. The garbage in our lives needs to be burnt. Friends, you need to allow the garbage in your life to be burnt. There's all this good stuff we think that we've got that would just help the gospel so much. And I discovered it when a friend said to me, I used to have long hair, said to me, Barry, you should never cut your hair because then you can minister to bikers, because I was a biker once, to bikers and hippies. There you go. I went, whoa. I never led one biker or hippie to the Lord. I led all these professional people. And I'm thinking, man. And then the Lord said to me, son, you have got nothing to offer. And I thought, that's right. Unless the Spirit draws a man.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? Unless the Spirit draws a man, he doesn't have a hope. You see, I figured that you sell someone something, someone else will come along and sell them something out of it. Just as quickly as they came in, they will go out. They have to have, you have to have an experience with the living God. That's going to keep you in there. No one's ever going to tell me that the Lord's not real, because I know he is. The night that we got saved, both Lynn and I were set free of drugs and everything we have never used ever again. We got set free. I cried on the floor for hours. She had her hands in the air, speaking in tongues, praising the Lord. Same night, same time, same experience. She experienced it one way, I experienced it another. It was wonderful. The Lord tied us on and said, we're on the journey. This is where we're going. And friends, I discovered that over my journey, all this junk would pop in and out of my life. And I'd try and hold on to it. Like an old coat. It was nice and comfy. That was me. Do you know what I mean? That was me. My hair was part of that. And then the day came and he said, time to get your hair cut. And I went to the hairdresser and they said, oh, are you sure you want to cut all that off? And I almost said no. And so what they did was they snipped it at the back and left the front hanging down so I could see it. And she said, you sure you want to go there? I said, yeah, I think so. She went, okay. Pulled one part back, snip. Then I looked like this goofball, so she cut the other side off. And then I couldn't believe it. It was just like, I feel naked. It's just like my security blanket was taken away from me. You see, it was a talking point. I was different to every other pastor. Especially here in America, it was unbelievable. When I first came here in 1991 or 2, I mean, gosh, you need to get saved if you had long hair. Let alone be a pastor. Well, maybe he's a youth pastor. Well, no, I wasn't actually. I was senior pastor of a church. It was right. But you know, the Lord, I allowed the Lord to tie me, and then I allowed him to begin to snip away those things that, if he considers them not necessary, they're not necessary. Friends, and there'll be no grumbling or griping from me. When he bends me down to that wire and ties me, I'm willing to stay there because I know that the harvest is coming and that the harvest will be great and that he will take care of me as the vine dresser and look after me. He will not allow the enemy, the grubs and the birds to come pecking and pulling at me, that he will allow me to go to full term and bring forth the good fruit. And then when that's finished, he will say, son, I want to snip something else off you. Now, after a good time, are you willing? Because that's what we look at. We look at, man, look, the Lord's blessing me. I've got this house. I've got this. And so we go on. We go on with all these things that we have. Can you imagine them snipping them off you? The good things that you got. Well, many of us would say that was the devil. Be interesting to see. Be interesting to see how well you're tied to the wire. It's interesting, isn't it? It's worth thinking about. You think about, oh, no, he wouldn't take that away from him. Well, he might want to. Is he allowed to? Or do you just want to waggle in the breeze? be untrained, be unruly? Or do you want to be in submission, tied to the wire, heading that way, his way? So I just want to leave you with a few thoughts, those few thoughts, tonight. I pray that it blessed you, and I pray that you'd be a blessing. Father, we just thank you, my God, that your word, Father, is faithful. And Father, tonight, Lord, there are things in our lives that have been challenged, thoughts that have been challenged. Father, things that we hold dear in our lives have been challenged tonight. And so, Father, I just pray for everyone here that, my God, that they would begin to, Father, not hold anything quite so tightly, that they would allow you as the vine dresser to snip off those things that you deem need slipping off, that we might be fruitful in everything that we do. Fruitful, my God, and a blessing to you and your kingdom. Father, we just want to be, my God, men and women, Father, of honor. Men and women, my God, who honor you. Men and women who respect you. And that, Father, this world might see that we are in obedience to you, and that, Father, you are the one who leads us. And so, Father, we just thank you for the privilege of being called and placed in, Father, your family, and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.